Be open to that. Amen. This isn't a catered meal. This is, okay. You know, I need to. I like to hear what's going on in people's lives. I love to get the texts all week and what's happening on the job and in the workplace and in people's homes. It's just exciting. The church outside the walls. We live it every day. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, we're glad you're here. We want to thank all of you who came last night for the worship soaking and those who went the extra mile and came early and helped get the sound set up. And I hope you weren't disappointed. And I hope it'll be the beginning of other such gatherings as we get together, especially with other churches. And we just worship together. It's just something about that, you know, and just to be able to hear God's voice and sense His presence in our life. Man, I need that. I need that every day. Praise the Lord. Well, Greg's going to come and share some important announcements with us, and you have a little program or a bulletin there that you can read for yourself. Take that with you, and so you'll know what's going on. But he's going to highlight some things for us that I think will be significant. Oh, one thing before he shares, I messed up last week, and we had the Hope Ranch. Remember that? Wasn't that awesome? Yeah. And I forgot to invite you to sow into that ministry financially. And so I asked Pat, I said, well, do we have any gifts to give to Hope Ranch? She said, just your check. I said, you know, I don't think I even mentioned it. So we want to give you an opportunity even at any time. Just if you want to sow a gift into that ministry, just write out it, put that in the memo. We'll make sure they get that. And also remember the barn blessings coming up. And if you'd like to participate in that, let us know too, because we'd like to take a group to that too. And just kind of, God's bringing a lot of ministries alongside of us, and we just want to be open to that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Is there anybody here in this room who went to the soaking worship last night? Okay, a handful. Kelly and I planned on coming. We stopped at a wedding first, and then when we were telling the wedding party goodbye, the mother of the bride actually told us that we had to stay. So that was a little awkward. She said, you haven't even heard the speeches or seen the first dance, so please sit down and stick around. So it was a small room. We were in a little hotel room, so we went and sat down, and just like, you know, the mom is watching us. So we were stuck there till almost 9 o'clock. So that, yeah, okay. So anyways, just wanted to highlight a few things. You have all the announcements you need in this bulletin here, but just around the corner is our Faithful in Prayer once a month prayer meeting that happens here in this room from 7 to 8 o'clock. And then October 2nd through the 3rd, there's a Walking by Faith men's retreat. And are we still passing around the clipboards for those?
Yeah, this is the last.
Yeah. It's the last time to sign up for this.
No men in this row.
Men's retreat. Okay. And are you good here in this row, men's retreat? You coming camping with us? Probably not. Okay, we'll start here.
And we have a little schedule out on the table. Is that right, Donna? With a map. So people know how to get there.
Yeah. And so that's right around the corner. And I know a bunch of guys are going, and we're going to have a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to that. I can Skype you or FaceTime even. I don't know about you, but I plan on catching the biggest fish out of all the guys. So we'll see what happens. I wanted to make a personal announcement for faith groups. If you're interested, please come and talk to me. I'm still on the prowl talking to you guys, seeing who's interested and who wants to get plugged in. But also, I wanted to let you know that there is a faith groups page on Facebook, so you can see what's going on in the other faith groups already and see what we're up to. So just get on your Facebook if you have one and just type in FCC Faith Groups, and you'll see it immediately. And, you can just check out everything that we're doing there. So. And Beth, would you like to come and share?
Good morning. How is everybody?
Great.
Good, hopefully. All right. Well, I'm up here to thank you for everything that you've done for our nursery. We've got two cribs now. They're not put together, but Mr. Brad has offered to put those together for us, which is good, because if I put them together, they'd probably turn out very wrong. So we have two of our cribs. We're halfway to what we would really like to have, so Your continued gifts are appreciated, and we're really grateful for everything that you're doing for our kids. And also, since October is right around the corner, we are starting to plan for our trunk or treat. If you've been involved with our trunk or treat in the past, then you know that it is a blast. It's not just, oh, let's do this for the kids. It's fun for everybody who gets to be involved. So if you would like to donate candy for our trunk or treat, we are beginning our collection of candy. Or if you would like to bring your trunk and decorate your trunk for us to put candy in so that you can give it to kids, we would appreciate that as well. I've already talked to a couple of people that have donated their trunks, and we've got some ideas floating around. We have one trunk that's maybe going to be Ezekiel in the Valley of Dry Bones, and another one that's going to be Jonah and the Whale. So let your imagination go wild. You can come up with something fun. The kids will love it. So thank you again for everything you've done, and have a good week.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, I remember my first trunk or treat beer almost burnt my truck up. Glory to God. Yeah. Yeah. Connie and I had a trunk that was fall in love with Jesus. And we had a straw bale and we had pumpkins. You remember that? The Connie carved it, so not remember. Yeah. It was an E. The E that Jesus spelled out in pumpkins. Yeah, yeah. You're still sensitive about that, aren't you? Okay. We were sitting in the garage carving out these pumpkins to spell Jesus. And I had my J all done. And Connie was working on the E. And I looked over and said, that doesn't even look like an E. It looks like a Q. She had a knife in her hand. And I still sweat when I think about this, but she stabbed the side of that pumpkin, got up from her chair and said, then you can do it, and walked out of there. And I sat there and thought, Joe, you're an idiot, you know. First off, she had a knife and you upset her. So I redid the E. And, of course, then I told everybody that night, make sure when you come by our trunk, say something about that E, how cool it looks. That E really pops. It was fun all night. I was in a different place, but I could hear Connie every time go, Joe, Joe. It was great. I even called my daughter and I said, your mom's going to text you a picture tonight of our trunk. Make sure you say something about the E. We're laying in bed. It's like 10 o'clock at night. And my wife gets a text from my daughter. Man, that E really pops. I was sound asleep, but not for long, because I heard that word, Joe. So, and then the next day I loaded up everything. We had s'mores, and we had a little fire pit and had built a fire. And I thought, well, I'll leave this and come back and get it in the morning. And so I did, and there was the fire pit, and it looked good to me. And I put it in the back of my trunk with all the straw and everything. And I'm driving down the highway, and people are honking at me. And one guy comes up alongside of me, and he's going, hey, hey. I look back there, my whole back of my truck's on fire. The wind had got in there, and there were some coals in there, and it just lit. So I pulled over to the side of the road. We created quite a scene. People stopped to help, and one guy had a fire extinguisher. I still have a little burnt spot on my truck, but that's it. So this year we're going to do something that doesn't involve fire. We're going to do Jonah and the Whale. It has to do with water. That's right, water. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, you are correct. Well, we want to look at the church outside the walls today. We got some great pictures coming up here. Of course, first off, we want to welcome our new arrival, Deborah Rose Edwards. There we were up at the hospital. There's Grandma. There she is, Grandma Joanne and Connie, looking at that precious little baby. I think she'll probably be here in the second service today. So that's what those cribs are all about. When you think about cribs, that's it right there. We also have some pictures this week. Next week we're going to have see at the pole, but this week we had our chili cookout. How many of you got to come to that? Was that fun? We even had neighbors come, and it was just great. And here's just some pictures just showing you the fun time. In fact, the firemen said next year they want to enter into the chili contest, so we're going to let them. We told them we'll call it Firehouse Chili, so they're pretty excited about that. And this was the first picture is us looking at this other picture. And if you look close in that bouncy house, you're going to see Teddy in there. Do you see her in there? There was Teddy inside the bouncy house. So we were looking at that picture, enjoying it. And she had a great time, praise the Lord. So did the kids, but even even we adults had a good time as well. Praise the Lord. So looking forward to it, and we appreciate all who work with that. We want to continue on this morning in our, one other announcement, almost forgot. This week, I know our grass is slowing down a little bit, but we still got a little mowing to do. And we want to help Dave and Nancy out. If there's somebody this week can help us with some mowing and trimming at their house, we want to put together a little group. If we have enough people, we can do it pretty quick, and we can even have some good fellowship. So if you would be interested in helping us out with that, would you let us know? Because we would like to get that done this week. I don't know how many more mowings we might have, but maybe a couple. So if we can help them out, that'd be awesome, because it's really difficult for Dr. Dave to push that mower with them crutches. Although I bet that'd be, I'd like to watch it, but oh gosh, praise the Lord. Well, we want to continue with our series this morning on discovering our spiritual DNA. Remember, what does that mean? We're talking about those things that make you tick, right? What makes you unique? Your spiritual giftings, your passion, your calling, even your own personality. What is it? God's put together an interesting mixture of people in this place, wouldn't you say? Amen. He did it on purpose. He did it on purpose. Because if we were all the same, one of us wouldn't be needed. Amen. It's the same way in marriage, isn't it? Yeah, God's put together a family here in this place. And he's added to the church according to his pleasure. There's that river of his pleasure. He gets great pleasure out of bringing people together with great diversity. And we need each other because not all of us can play every position, right? And so God's calling us, and he's given us a special DNA that will help us. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been specifically looking at our pastor's DNA, the leadership of this church, our elders. What is it that makes us tick? What is it that it unlocks our passion and makes us do what we do? It's important that you understand that we're, even among leadership, we're all a little bit different. But God brings together a great diversity and creates a beautiful tapestry. A couple weeks ago, you remember we talked about the first letter in the acrostic pastor. We took the P. We talked about how important people were. That's part of our DNA. It's our motivation. It's all about people. We talked about our private prayer life and how significant that was. And we talked about the heart of the pastor being a protector of the sheep, and how significant that was. And last week, that wasn't too long ago, you can probably remember that, right? We spent some time using the metaphor of aviation. We challenged each of us to live a nose-up attitude in our life. And we compared our lives to an instrument in the cockpit of an airplane. That instrument, that artificial horizon, that attitude indicator that tells us what attitude the plane is in. And we began to look at our own attitude, and not just any attitude. What kind of attitude? A positive attitude, right? That's that nose-up position. And we finalized ourselves. We familiarized ourselves with that phrase. You remember it? The higher your attitude, the higher your what? Altitude. That's right. And how important it is. God wants us to fly higher. He wants us to have a different perspective. Things look a lot different from 30,000 feet than they do from, I'll turn this off. Can you believe people are texting me? Who is this? It's probably one of you, isn't it? But I believe God wants us to see things from a different perspective, and some of us are just flying a little too close to the ground to see things from God's perspective. And so I hope you're trying to do that. In fact, this week I was a little surprised by the number of texts that I received from people attempting this week to have a nose-up attitude. I received texts from people talking about their jobs at work, at school. Brother Adam, who's a teacher, he talked about how he presented that to his class, middle schoolers, having a nose-up attitude. I went, wow, that's pretty cool. I even got a text from somebody at a shopping center who was having an experience. Pray for me. I need a nose-up attitude today. Amen. It's something God wants us to have in every area of our life. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to move to the third letter in the acrostic for pastor, the letter S. And from my personal experience, both in business and in ministry, as well as family life and, well, just life in general, I have come to believe that this particular letter we're going to discuss today will always take you to a nose-up attitude. Always. It is a serving heart. A serving heart. You will find this DNA embedded in the very text that we've chosen to read over the last several weeks. And don't forget, you've promised to pray this scripture over us, right? You've been doing that, haven't you? Over the elders and pastor and our staff. That when you're in your quiet time every day, that you'll be praying this very scripture. And we can tell when you're doing it. We can tell that it's affecting our lives, our ministry. Here it is in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. Let's read it again. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but here it is, but eager to serve. Eager, I like that word, eager. You know, eager. Man, we're looking for, we want, man, nobody has to twist our arm to serve. We're eager to serve. We're thinking about it all the time. We're looking for opportunities to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Charles Stanley, when he was addressing the topic of servant leadership, made this observation. He said this: today, the race to be a leader is crowded. Everybody wants to be a leader. But he said, the field is wide open for those who desire and are willing to be servants. Yeah, the line for leadership is long, but that servant line, it's a little shorter, isn't it? Yeah, I want to be a leader. I don't know about that serving thing. I want to show you a picture. I want you to understand why this DNA is so deep inside of myself and my wife, Connie. Here's a picture of us as young lieutenants in the Salvation Army. Isn't she as beautiful as she was that day when I first... Yeah. In fact, there was a newspaper article written about my wife. I tried to find it. I couldn't find it. It said the lassie with a classy chassis. Yeah, the Wichita Eagle had that story. And I can't believe I couldn't find it, but it was great. We were doing this project, and they took a picture of her in her uniform, and I said, wow, honey. But I want you to look close at that picture, because you're going to see something there that's significant. It's our uniforms. What do you see on that uniform? Two S's. They're on every Salvation Army uniform. It means saved to serve. General William Booth made sure that that would be on every coat, on every shirt, to remind us constantly when we looked in the mirror, whatever we were doing, that our mission was simple. We were saved to serve. In fact, William Booth created a slogan for the Salvation Army. It appeared on everything. It simply said this: heart to God and hand to man. That everything he did filtered through that. Heart to God, hand to man. There was in that day and age, of course, they didn't have the forms of communication we have. And the story is told of William Booth around Christmas time sending out a telegram to all the Salvation Army officers internationally. And it only had one word on it. It was a Christmas greeting. And it just was one word: others. That's all it said. Others. This morning, I want you to consider with me, and if you listen closely, you can hear it. It's the heartbeat of a servant. Boom, 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 boom. Listen carefully. You can hear it. What is the heartbeat of a servant? I just want to run through some things that I think we're blessed with here. And listen, this isn't just for leadership, but I hope Faith Community Church would be a church with a heart of servitude. That everything we do would filter through this whole idea. The first heartbeat that I see is focusing on others. When I read the writings of William Booth, man, this guy, he was focused on others. It was all about others. In fact, I found this quote the other day. He said this. He said, "While women weep as they do now, I will fight. While little children go hungry as they do now, I will fight. While men go to prison in and out and in and out as they do now, I will fight. While there is a drunkard left, while there is a poor little girl upon the streets, while there remains one dark soul without the light of God, I will fight, I will fight, I will fight to the end. This man, I can hear his heartbeat. Can you hear his heartbeat? Is one of service, wasn't it? It's how the Salvation Army began. Well, he didn't mean to have an organization like that. It just happened. And how did it happen? It came out of a heart of service. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. It's all about others. I don't mean to bore you with all these Salvation Army stories today, but this is one of my favorites. It actually occurred on May 29th, 1914. There were 130 Salvation Army officers aboard the Empress of Ireland. It sank on open seas. 109 Salvation Army officers drowned. But here's the interesting part of the story. They said not one body that was recovered of the Salvation Army officers had a life belt. The survivors told how the Salvationists, finding there were not enough life preservers for all, took theirs off and gave them to others. And from the deck of the sinking boat, they flung their battle cry around the world. Others. It's all about others. Jesus set that same benchmark for us in Philippians 2, 5, and 8. Just a few verses after the writer talked about how important it is that we put others first in our life, Jesus himself set this example for us. He said, the writer declares this. He said, This attitude, this is a nose-up attitude. He said, let it be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. Some translation said a slave. And coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. This was the example that Christ set for us. I can hear the heartbeat, can you? Boom, 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 boom. It's beating loudly for us. It's for our benefit. And we are living that same heartbeat today. Jesus came. It was his attitude. He said, have this same attitude in you that Jesus had. That he humbled himself to the point of death on the cross. Why did he do it? He did it for others, didn't he? It wasn't for he didn't come to be served. He came to serve. That was his heart. True humility. I used to have a sign in my office. It said this: true humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. I can hear that heartbeat. That's why it runs deep in Connie and I. It was drilled in us for years. And I can remember when we were in Chicago, we had what we called midnight patrols. We would go out on the streets of Chicago in our uniforms because nobody ever bothered you if you were in a Salvation Army uniform, you know. And we'd go out and we'd have food and we just walk the streets and see who we might encounter. Some of those are pretty rough places. And no one ever bothered us. One time, Connie remembers, one time, we went into a bar and a lady was on top of a cigarette machine and jumped on my back and took me to the ground. That's the only time, though. I don't think she meant to hurt me, but we shared Jesus with her. And then we were in another place talking to some people, and a guy pulled out a gun and shot somebody. And I went, did that just happen? But we never were, we kept looking at those S's. Saved to serve. And where did Jesus go? He went into the miry clay pit. He got his hands dirty for us because he had the heartbeat of that servant. Here's another heartbeat. See if you can hear it. I hear it often in true servants. It's the heartbeat of self-denial. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't get a warm, fuzzy feeling when I hear that word. Do you? Oh, self-denial. Let's all raise our hands and sing. Glory to God. Why is that? Because by nature, we're selfish. Is that true? I am. I'll just tell you right up front. I think of myself a lot, you know. That self-centeredness, it rises up in me sometimes. Sometimes it surprises me that I am so self-centered. I find that serving others is a way to war against that nature in you as you begin to serve others. In Matthew 20, verses 25 through 28, Jesus called the disciples to him, gathered them around. They didn't know what he was going to teach them that day, but he had quite a lesson for them. He said, "Gentlemen, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, for whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." In Matthew 16, 24 through 25, Jesus said, we must deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. For he who seeks to save his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will gain it. Well, now that'll draw a crowd, won't it? I often say Jesus knew how to thin out crowds, didn't he? He'd get a little crowd going, and I'd say, Jesus, don't say nothing. Just don't say nothing. Enjoy the moment for a while. And then he'd say something, and boy, they'd start leaving him. It's messages like this, but really, it's the source of life for us. I heard a pastor say once, you can measure a servant's heart by how you respond when someone treats you like a servant. We all want to serve, but have you ever said, oh, they just used me? Well, you prayed to be used, and God used me, and then they use you, and you don't like it, right? They're just using me. They're taking me for granted. There is a warning that we need to be aware of this morning, however, and that is in this serving thing, there is such a thing as false service. Rick Warren spoke about it in his article on serving. I thought it was an interesting comment he made. That oftentimes when we have to check out our motive when we are serving. What is your motive to serve? Are you serving just to win the favor of people? Oh, I've been there. Are you serving just to get people to like you? I've been there. Are you looking for a pat on the back or someone to admire you for your service? You know what that's called? Manipulation. There are people who use service to manipulate others. That is not the heartbeat of the servant. The heartbeat of the servant has a whole different motivation. True servants don't need to cover their walls with plaques and awards to validate their work. They don't need to insist on being addressed by a certain title or to wrap themselves in the robes of superiority. A true servant, no. A true servant is what Jesus described to his disciples. Because why did he say that to them? Because they were just having a discussion about what? They wanted to know who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. They were hoping that he might pick two of them. Even some parents got involved, right? Don't forget my boys, Jesus. You know, they're pretty good boys. Yeah. My son, he's the best. Well, what parent wouldn't be proud of their kids, right? I think that's awesome. But Jesus said, you know not what you ask. Because what you're really asking for is to be a servant of people. Here's another heartbeat I want to give you just in the time that we have. Because I think sometimes, too, when I think about Jesus' words, I think our own insecurity at times keeps us from serving others. You have to be pretty secure in your position to really empty yourself into the life of others. Jesus did it, did he not, when he washed the disciples' feet? I mean, he was the Son of God. He was the Master. And he even surprised the disciples when he did it. And he wrapped himself in a cloth and he washed the feet. Who does things like that? The servants do it. The person who has the lowest rank does it. Jesus said, are you listening? Are you watching? I'm trying to teach you something. about what's coming. I'm calling you out to be servants. I believe the heartbeat of true servants are some of the most secure people I know. They don't wrestle with insecurity. And that's how they're able to give themselves to others. But people who are insecure, they struggle with it. And then they get into that false serving mentality because they know we're supposed to do it, but their motivation is not pure. Pray for us that that would not be true. Here's a heartbeat of a servant. A true servant's heart sees opportunity, not obligation. A true servant's heart sees opportunity, not obligation. They are managers, not owners. They understand that everything they have is from God. They understand that the talents they have are from God. And why do they have them? To serve. It's to serve. It's not just for you. It's not just for you. God's given you that talent for a reason. It's for others, isn't it? What about our provision? The money that you have. You know, Scripture says you have not because you ask not, or because you ask amiss. And you ask to heap unto yourselves. Why do you have what you have? Is it just for you? No. God's called you as a servant that we understand this doesn't even belong to me. My house does not belong to me. My car does not belong to me. It belongs to God. I am a steward of what God has given to me. And everything I have is at His disposal under the spirit of serving. Rick Warren in his church talks about a group he calls Kingdom Builders. It's an interesting group. We ought to have one of these groups. He said there's actually two types of people. There are those who are wealth builders and those who are kingdom builders. He said both are gifted businessmen and they love to make their businesses grow and they're good at it and they make deals and sales and they make a lot of money and a lot of profit. He said, in the kingdom builders, they do all those things too. The only difference is that they try to make as much money as they can for the kingdom. It's not just to build their own wealth, but it is for the kingdom. I wonder what God could do if we were truly available. Could He trust us? I love the prayer of David. Don't make me so rich, Lord, that I forget about you. And don't make me so poor that I would steal and shame your name. God, everything we have as servants, it is to serve. It's an opportunity. Look at what you have. That's probably God trying to tell you something about what you're supposed to do with your life. What about your influence? Are there people of influence? We were talking last night with the other church that was here with us, and there were a couple doctors, physicians here in our church, and talking about their influence and how God uses them in their position. They can do things I can't do. But as I listened to them talk, it was all about serving other people. I could hear the heartbeat of the servant's heart in these people, even though, hey, man, he's a doctor, man. Listen, how about education? We've got some pretty educated people in this church. Why? So you can be smart? So you can wow us with your knowledge? No. So you can serve others. It's all about service. If it's not that, then what is it? What about where you live? You're an American. Why did God put you here? Do you understand your opportunity? You live in a great country. Why? Because God wants you to serve. You have opportunities to serve that other people only dream about. Your job. Why do you have the job you have? It's about serving, isn't it? What about the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Wow, that's wonderful. I want some of that. How about you? Why? To edify, to exhort, and to counsel for the profit of the church. It's all about others, isn't it? Are you seeing it? See, when we make it all about us and our natural inclination has become very self-centered, to be very self-focused, but all this is pointing us outward. Why are you here at Faith Community Church? Why does it exist? It should exist to serve. It should exist to be able to touch the lives of other people. Here's a heartbeat. Listen, I know our time is running out here, but I got more than I can give you here today. As we began, I believe that the heart of a servant is always a nose-up attitude. You show me a true servant, and I'll show you somebody who serves with gladness in their heart. I'll show you somebody, they're not critical of other people. They don't sit around critiquing. They're too busy serving. A true servant's heart They draw from the river of joy. They receive great pleasure because their motivation is pure. When you're serving, it's hard to be critical and negative. Did you know that? If you find yourself being critical and negative, start serving. Go down to the Salvation Army soup kitchen or something. It'll help get that out of you, all right? Just start serving other people and see what God might do. Albert Schweitzer said, the only real happy people are those who have learned how to serve. It's true. Happiest people I know are servants. In John 13, 12 through 17, remember, this is after communion, which we're going to take here in just a minute. After Jesus served the elements, we see this story we referred to. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garment and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? Do you understand? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. One translation I read says, happy are you if you do them. Boom, 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 boom. I hear the heart of the servant. It is my DNA, and I believe it's the DNA of this church. I want to challenge you today to do something. I want to challenge you this week as you go out of this place, church outside the walls, to be ready for the serving opportunities that are going to come your way. They're going to come when you least expect it. And I pray that God will put you in a place where your heart will beat like General Booth. He drove across London Bridge one night and saw the people sleeping under the bridge. And he went home and told Catherine, we can't sleep. We can't sleep. We got to reach these people. As long as they're there, we're going to do whatever God tells us to do. And they committed their lives to serving. So much so, they plastered it on their clothes. Now, I'm not saying we all get uniforms, although it probably wouldn't hurt any. But it's more the heart of the servant that we seek here today. And I believe there's serving that goes on in this church that nobody knows about. That's probably the best kind. That's probably the best kind. But what I'm challenging you today is to seek out your motivation. Let God begin to put in you his own spirit of servitude and put yourself in a position to say, yes, Lord, everything I have is going to filter through this. It's the only reason I have what I have is to be here to serve other people. It is our DNA. Amen? And we're going to partake of the table today, but before we do, you'll notice out in the hallway today there's a couple baskets. And they're there for a purpose, and over the next couple weeks they're going to be there. Because there's a couple people in our church that we just want to honor over the next couple weeks. And that's Marshall and Cynthia and Brian, who have faithfully served in this body. And I believe they've served with a true servant's heart. They've been the glue that has kind of kept us together through some rough times. Amen? And they have been the fulfillment of what Peter wrote about. And I'd like you to take the opportunity just to acknowledge that. And if you didn't bring a card today, you can bring one next week. There's also some cards out there you can write on. And I know Marshall, I know right now what he's thinking. No, 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 no. See, that's just boom, 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 boom. There it is. But I believe it's important that we honor those among us who lead us faithfully. Amen? They're worthy of double honor. And there were some folks in the body who felt we should do that. And if you want to slip a little gift card in there, you can do that too. Or I'll tell you what's more important is your thoughts and words. But I just want you to serve the servants and encourage them to keep on and just to lift their spirits. I know Marshall's been through a time of loss this week. He's lost his father. Anybody ever had to go through that yet? It'll touch you in your deepest places of your heart. And what happens to him happens to us. Is that right? And so, and I was blessed to see so many of you come to the service this week and just to care for Marshall and Cynthia and their family. It's just, that's part of the servant's heart. So I want to encourage you today just to write a card or drop something in there over the next couple of weeks if you haven't something today. And we just want to honor them. But as we do that this morning, we're going to come around the table and we're going to take the bread and cup just like Jesus did that night. And then we're not literally going to do it, but then we're going to do what Jesus did. After he served, he washed their feet. That should be a natural outflow of this table. It was for Jesus that night. It's not enough just to take the cup and bread. Now we're going to serve one another. He said, do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you understand what I've done? And I hope you do. So I want you just to commit that as you take the bread and you take the cup, we celebrate the gift of God to us. But now, what a shame it would be if that's where we leave it. We don't want to leave it there. It's not just about me anymore. It's about everybody I meet this week. Amen? Everybody I meet this week. We met a waitress the other night, and just sitting there, and I was thinking about her, and I just sensed something wasn't right in her heart, and we just kind of spoke some words to her, and found out she had, you know, sometimes we'll ask people before we pray over our meal, you know, how can we pray with you? And, you know, almost every time they'll share some need they have. And this young lady had an incredible need. And we're sitting there and I'm thinking, well, we have the means to meet that need. You know, it's not mine. It belongs to God, right? Now, God can provide for you in some incredible ways. My wife had an unusual check came in the mail to her this last week. She got a check for $15,000 came in the mail from my company with a letter that were offering their condolences about my death. For real. It was some burial fund or something. And Connie brought it down and said, are you okay? Of course, we want to say it's a miracle. God's providing for us, right? So I called up the company, and I said, there seems to be a mistake here because my wife got a check because of my death. There's silence on the phone. He goes, can you hold on for a minute? He comes back. He goes, man, I don't know how that happened. He said, but would you do me a favor? Would you have your wife tear up that check? I said, oh, you don't know my wife. That check's gone. And there was silence on the phone because he didn't know if I was kidding or not. I go, I'm just kidding. He goes, oh, my goodness. He says, I said, if you'd have waited another day, I don't know how God's going to provide for you, but I believe he could send you a check in the mail. But whatever you have in your hand, I want you to look at it from a perspective of a servant. Lord, what am I to do with this? Because I don't own anything. I serve the Master. And everything I have is for him. And I want my whole life to be given to that. Would you be willing to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to do that, whatever that means. Father, as we come around the table this morning, we take the bread and cup. And we are grateful because we know, because of that bread and because of that cup and what it represents, we're here today, blood bought and purchased and forgiven. But now, Lord, once we take from this table and leave this place, I believe we're to follow your example and we're to go wash the feet of others. Would you help us do that? And then come back next week and we'll hear the stories of what took place. We just want to be available because the heartbeat of a servant is always to be available, always available for the Master's call. That's what we want to be today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you come. We'll come down the center aisle and then go up the side as you dip the bread and take it.
Jesus, I surrender all to him.
Stand with me, please. We want to go with the last night we shared this blessing over those who gathered. We want to do it again this morning. This is the blessing that, of course, God gave to Moses to speak to Aaron and then to speak to the children of Israel forevermore. And it's been spoken for generations. And here we are receiving that same blessing today. And this is it. I want you to receive it into your heart. It was simply, the Lord bless you and keep you. Just receive that right now. The Lord's going to bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and look on you with favor. and give you peace. And he concluded, he said, this is how I will put my name on the children of Israel. So God has put his name on us today with this blessing. Just receive it into your heart as you go to serve. We've partaken of the table. Now we're going to go and wash feet. Are you ready? Are you ready? Father, we thank you again. Lord, let this word, let us carry it with us. We don't want to just be hearers of the word. We want to be doers of the word. And we want to be doers with a pure motive. And that is that we have been saved to serve. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go. We'll be here to pray with you if you need prayer this morning. There's time of fellowship in the fellowship hall. Please stay and participate. Amen. God bless you.